This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Y'all know me. All right, 206. McMonagle here with you. If you're just tuning in now, because this is the normal time you tune into me, you missed out on a whole bunch. A lot of football talk. Go back on the rewind feature back till midnight. 2 hours worth. Funny basketball coaching story, all of it. Go back on the rewind feature, or you can go back and hit up the podcast on the Odyssey app, the free Odyssey app here on The Fan. 888-808-1019. We're going to get to baseball in just a bit, but I still have a couple calls here on the football. Giants quarterback situation, Jets quarterback situation, Aaron Glenn, and Fliegelman can't stop either. We see this exactly the same. Every time I hear Marco play one of the sound bites from Aaron Glenn, I thought he had a terrible press conference at the Combine. He seemed angry. He's annoyed that the questions are about the quarterback. I just thought he had a bad, name another coach. Like, if Brian Daboll showed up to the camp, you know what? It pisses me off we're still talking about the quarterback position. We would have been like, what? Are you out of your mind? Pisses you off? Like, I thought Aaron Glenn knew what this town was about. I didn't get that vibe from him yesterday at the Combine. And he's still talking about win now. He's still talking about the quarterback, you know, I'm looking for a winner. And they just got rid of a first ballot Hall of Famer. And it doesn't make any sense to me. The way the Jets are handling the quarterback position doesn't make any sense to me. I think they're making a massive mistake. And then the Giants, they talked a lot about drafting a quarterback and bringing in a veteran, taking swings at the quarterback position. And really, other than paying Daniel Jones, they haven't really taken a swing at the quarterback position. They have not drafted a quarterback in his first three drafts. I assume that's going to change here because they are in desperate need of a quarterback. A lot of talk about Matthew Stafford. I don't see that as a legit working option for the New York Giants, but I'd be excited about it because they'll probably win a lot of games. But to bring in him, pay him, trade for him, I'd rather just take a quarterback at three, pay the rookie contract for the first 4 years, take that money and build around him. And I do think there are pieces to build around. I think they have a stud wide receiver. I think they have a stud left tackle. I think they have a young rookie running back who could get the job done. Obviously, Dexter Lawrence, Drew Phillips, the draft last year was pretty good. Theo Johnson, a tight end. I don't think they're that far off from being a pretty damn good team. And in a couple of years, I think they could be a championship team if they get the quarterback position right. 888-808-1019. Let's take a couple more football calls before we move on to what the hell is happening with Giancarlo Stanton and a couple of big home runs that could indicate where the Yankees and Mets are going with their roster spots. 888-808-1019. Jimmy in Queens. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, Chris. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I was driving home listening to you, and I just got to say, I really think the best option for the Giants is Stafford. I see what you're saying with whole, like, they probably have a ceiling with Stafford where that they might not have with a rookie quarterback. But I think, especially with this year's draft, where the entire fan base is convincing themselves on these quarterbacks and the entire league is telling us they're not good, you got to, like, this is the year to reestablish some semblance of winning. And I think Stafford, like, he played the best in the playoffs last year against the Eagles out of all the teams they faced in the snow. I think he really brings us the best chance to even get to, like, 10 wins. And I just believe in him. I believe in, you got to get out of the bottom feeders of the draft, because there are teams that have been there every year. Like, we can look across town and see one, and it doesn't really work. Like, you got to, like, once you find your guy in a few years, like, I think that gives Shane more time too. It gives, if they win a few games this year, he has a few years. And if there's a guy he loves in a few years, he can go grab him. And teams will trade in that midsection of the first round. So I think that's the best option.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying as far as, like, you know, winning. And I don't like to be a bottom feeder either. But the idea that it doesn't, like, there are some teams who still, like the Browns, who haven't made it work because they went out and made that trade for Deshaun Watson. And the Jets have consistently bungled the quarterback position. But I think Washington did pretty well drafting a quarterback second overall. I think the Texans did a pretty good job drafting a quarterback second overall, and I don't expect them to be anywhere near the top of the draft moving forward. And that's just based on the quarterback. Like, I think, and again, the idea that, you know, the rest of the league is telling us, well, then the Giants won't draft them. Like, if the Giants aren't going to draft a quarterback they don't believe in just to draft a quarterback. So, I mean, I think they are still projected to be first round picks. Like, it's not like they're disastrous quarterbacks. They're just not projected to be Andrew Luck. They don't have the same as Dexter Lawrence. Like, we'll see. But if Joe Shane and Brian Daboll believe in a quarterback, I still think that's the best way. Because again, is this roster good enough to win a Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford? And do you think they're better off being average for the next couple of years, or even winning a playoff game? And then where do they go at the quarterback position then? And you're drafting lesser and not getting better picks. Like, I just don't, I don't, unless I do unless think, I think they can win a Super Bowl with that move, I don't know if it's worth it.
It's kind of like, for me, it's kind of like the known versus the unknown.
Yeah.
It's like the mystery box thing. And I just don't, these quarterbacks, like, if they want to grab a guy in the second round, that's perfect, I think. But picking these quarterbacks when there's also two amazing talents right there, and it's not a great year for quarterbacks, it just seems like another move that's going to keep setting them back. And then, yeah, they have great pieces around them, but you don't want to waste those pieces. So you bring in Stafford so that you make the most of those pieces, and maybe in a few years, there is
But the pieces are young. It's not like the Jets where they're like on their third, fourth, and fifth years, those pieces. Like, Garrett Wilson's been around a while. Breece Hall, they're going to have to make a decision on his fifth-year option. Quinnen Williams, they've already paid. Like, they're in a different position. You're talking about a rookie in Malik Nabers. You're talking about a rookie in Theo Johnson. You're talking about a rookie in Tracy.
Having Stafford will show them, like, a level of professionalism that will help them when there is a young quarterback.
No, I understand that. I get that. That does make that's true. You'll help develop Malik Nabers, no doubt, with Matthew Stafford, I suppose, no doubt. But I mean, if Sanders and them are good, you'll develop. I mean, you want to see, do you think Nico Collins is a great wide receiver, like, who would be great no matter where he went? Or do you think that the young quarterback helped him become that? Or, like, how long did we hear Terry McLaurin was one of the more underachieving for his level of talent wide receivers in the league, and then Jaden Daniels come in? Like, there's, if the quarterback is right, all of those questions get answered, and, like, all of the same things happen if they're right on the quarterback. Plus, you have a cheap quarterback that you can build the rest of the roster a hell of a lot easier than paying $50 million plus trading away picks to get Matthew Stafford here.
Well, I guess that's maybe part of my point then, is that I don't believe in either.
You don't believe in the quarterbacks. Yeah, I get
but
you.
But Shedeur Sanders is a pocket passer. With how the Giants have built O-lines, we think that's going to work out. That sounds crazy to me.
Yeah, they have to. They have two tackles. They have Andrew Thomas, who's one of the best tackles in the league. Hasn't been able to stay healthy. Hopefully, he does. The reports were today that he's out of the boot and he looks fantastic. He's been hitting the gym like crazy. He looks great. If he can stay healthy, fine. If you know, if he stays healthy, he's a Pro Bowl All Pro talent at left tackle. right? Illuminor did a good job at right tackle. They have money, right? If they're not paying a quarterback $50 million, they're in a much better place cap-wise. Go spend money and turn your offensive, like, you can fix your offensive line. It doesn't have to be, like, not every quarterback. Russell Wilson played for how long behind a bad offensive line in Seattle? Like, we have seen guys, not every single, you know, quarterback only succeeds because the offensive line is great. Like, and fix the offensive line. Like, I'm so tired of just assuming that this is not going to work because, like, do you think Daniel Jones would have been great if he had the Eagles offensive line? Could he win some games? Sure. Every quarterback could, right? Yeah, okay. But they can still fix the offensive line. It's not out of the realm of possibility. You draft one, you could find an offensive lineman in the second, third round. Forget the quarterback. Get the quarterback at the top. Draft an offensive lineman in the second, third round. Go out and spend some money on interior linemen in free agency. Last year with Andrew Thomas, they were top half. I think they were, I got to go back and double check. I think they were top 15, top 12 in pass protection when Andrew Thomas played last year. Somehow Malik Nabers still broke the rookie reception record. Somehow he still had 1,000 yards. Somehow Tracy still ran for 1,000 yards. The offensive line wasn't very good, but it wasn't like atrocious last year. They had Drew Lock as their quarterback. Like, there have been times, the end of Eli Manning's career, he was immobile, and you could say the offensive line ruined the opportunity for Eli Manning to age gracefully and have a last couple of years. The beginning of Daniel Jones's career, at times, the offensive line was terrible. You know, they got overrun by Dallas in the home opener a couple years ago. Like, that's all. There have been times where the offensive line has killed them. Like, last year, it wasn't just like, oh, my God, the offensive line's so terrible. They have no chance. They had a terrible quarterback playing the position. They had Drew Lock. Like, the offensive line, so let's just build the offensive line. Why are we taking Hunter? Let's just take all 6 draft picks and draft nothing but offensive linemen until we fix it. Otherwise, what are we doing? Let's just fix the offensive line before we do anything else. Why do anything? I'm not paying anybody. I'm not bringing in a single other free agent. I'm not. Once I fix the offensive line, then I'll go about building a football team. Like, it doesn't work that way. And the offensive line with Andrew Thomas can be good, can be fine, can be suitable. Again, it's not, I'm not saying one of these quarterbacks is Joe Burrow. I get it. And Joe Burrow's had no offensive line. He's got sacked 9 times and won a playoff game. He's been running for his life. Luck got beat up so bad, he lacerated his spleen and was forced to retire early. That's how bad the Indianapolis Colts offensive line was. And yet Andrew Luck won football games. And was he not a pocket passer? Like, you can still win. Like, if you have the ability, and now don't tell me that, well, yeah, he has Jamar Chase. He's got Malik Nabers. I'm not saying he's Jamar Chase just yet, but he's one of the better wide receivers in the league. Why can't a young quarterback come in here and play like that? You don't believe in the quarterback. That's it. I get it. But again, I'm sorry. You know, you don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. The idea that these guys can't be good is ridiculous. I think Shedeur Sanders has a chance to be good. I think he has a quick release. I think he's accurate with the ball. He's got a strong enough arm. And I'm not worried about him adjusting to New York. He's already kind of rich and famous. I think he'll handle the bright lights of New York. I don't think you have to worry about that angle of it. I think he's tough. I think he's won a lot of football games. He's turned programs around. He's taken on losing teams and made them better. I think he's a leader. And I think Cam Ward is extremely accurate. Cam Ward can get outside the pocket. Cam Ward has a cannon for an arm. Like, the idea that these guys can't be good is just not true. Maybe they're not good. Maybe they're not. There's no reason they can't be good. We heard, like we've said, Lamar Jackson had to change. You can't draft Lamar Jackson. He's not even going to be a quarterback in this league. Now, I'm not saying they're going to be Lamar. I'm just saying that was the talk around Lamar Jackson. He's going to have to switch positions. Josh Allen is, like, listen, who knows? What's the competition Josh Allen has played with? He's a raw product. He can, you know, Lamar, Josh Allen. Yeah, Josh Allen's a raw product. Who do you play against? What's his competition? Yeah, all right, so he can throw the ball 80 yards, but can't count on him to be a legitimate passer in this league. And look what happened to him. Everyone had all kinds of reasons why Patrick Mahomes wasn't worth a top pick. I think you have to take the chance. And if they're wrong, the season will be a disaster, and they'll draft another quarterback next year. You got to keep drafting quarterbacks till you get it right. I just don't see Stafford's not the worst idea, I suppose, because I do like the idea of finding out about these young kids, letting really, you know, I think neighbors would really flourish under him. The run game and Tracy probably flourishes under him. Like, it does answer some questions. And it finally tells us if the offensive line is good enough. Like you said, like, oh, Shedeur Sanders is a pocket passer. That screams disaster. Well, what exactly is Matthew Stafford? Stafford's going to come out here and get and run outside the pocket? He's much better. He's much more experienced. He can get rid of the ball quicker. He's dealt with NFL blitzes more than Shedeur Sanders. But if the offensive line's terrible, like you say, what's Stafford going to do? Run for his life? Get beat up? How many times have we seen him get up limping over the last 2 years?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. We've talked a lot of football this morning. Quarterback situation for the New York Giants and the New York Jets. Let's talk a little bit of baseball because there's a couple of things to get into with both the Yankees and Mets. And first, we can just start with Stanton because it's getting, you know, we talked yesterday. I wanted, you know, people don't understand. You know, I would love another bat for the New York Yankees, right? We all think they need another bat. I still think people have a tough time understanding. I still think the New York Yankees are the best team in the American League. But what I think and what actually happens don't always have to be the same thing. And I want them to more securely, if that's a word, be the best team in the American League. And right now they're short a bat. And with the Stanton news, which right now, like if you think about it, if you think about the Stanton news right now, I don't know what the hell is going on, but it's hard not to think, like, and especially I go back to the Judge comment. Like Judge, I'm talking to him. Hopefully the doctors say something positive. I've had dinner with him. He seems into good spirits. We need G healthy in the middle of the season. Like, Judge is already talking middle of the season. We have no idea what's going on. Aaron Boone is like, and again, I don't know what personal means. There's been some reports that the HIPAA, medical issue does not apply to Major League Baseball players. So I don't know if it's because, you know, we all talk about is the injuries as at, you know, so common and everything. The idea that just saying, hey, it's a personal issue, that's not going to fly with just he's getting tests or he's considering surgery or I have no idea what's going on with Giancarlo Stanton. But the latest comments from Aaron Boone yesterday were he's not here. We're not sure when he's coming back. And when he does, if he wants to address it, he'll address it. But right now, it's a personal matter, and I'm not going to go further than that. We know he's dealing with two tennis elbows. And they're still reporting, John Heyman is still reporting, and the comments from Judge indicate that he did go see a doctor back in New York, Christopher Ahmad, the team doctor. So I don't know what is going on with him. And I said this yesterday, and I continue to say it, like, the Yankees have to plan as if he's not coming back. And I'm okay with it on some level. Like, they need to improve off of this. They need to adjust to this. I still think getting Stanton back, even if it's July, August, I'll live with it because I know what he's going to be in the postseason. He's proven it to me. So if there's any way, if he's avoiding surgery, because I don't know what surgery is. I've seen reports from anywhere from, oh, it's a two-month thing to it's a 4 to 6 month thing. And especially if it's both elbows, there's no way it's not closer to 4 to 6 months. I think you're lucky if Stanton even gets back in time for the postseason. If he has surgery now on both elbows? Do they even do that? Would they have to stagger the elbows? Like, right now, Giancarlo Stanton has to be viewed as not a part of the New York Yankees. And if you want to look at that in that way, there is no way the Yankees aren't short a bat. Now, in my mind, I want Luis Arraez because it's the DH spot. You know, he doesn't have to play the field. He's horrendous in the field. And he's not going to give you stereotypical DH numbers. He's not going to hit you home runs. He's not going to drive in runs. But he is their clear-cut guy. Now, when I said they don't have a leadoff hitter, they obviously have guys they could put there. Someone's going to have to be a leadoff hitter. I think Jazz could do it. I think Volpe, if playing well, could do it. I think Jason Dominguez is going to be their pick to do it. But Like, I don't want to put that pressure on a rookie. We've seen Volpe struggle with it, and I don't love Jazz as the leadoff hitter. I want someone with a more guaranteed on-base percentage. I'll tell you the truth. If he's healthy and playing fairly well, DJ LeMahieu is their best leadoff hitter. But what are the odds of that? So they need to go out and add a bat, in my mind. But we are seeing a couple things here. Ben Rice is an interesting candidate for this position. And right now, I think the clear favorite for the role. Because if you look at it, his numbers in Triple H have been... Triple H. That even made me crack up. Sometimes I just move on from my flubs. That one made me laugh. Too much wrestling. I was looking for Triple H under the couch today. If you look at his numbers in AAA, Ben Rice rakes. Last year he came up and was given a good run. I think it's when people say he wasn't, he was. He was given a good run he couldn't hit. Now it's his rookie season. We've seen guys not be able to hit their rookie season. He's put on a ton of muscle. He's bulked up big time. He hit a ball 111 miles an hour today in his first single. I know people don't care about, a lot of people get mad when you bring up hard hit rate or you bring up exit velocity, but that's the hardest ball he's hit at any point in his career, at least that's been tracked. He's bulked up. He's also an emergency catcher because he can play catcher. He's been playing catcher. They kind of moved him off first. He could play first. He could play catcher in a spot. He's bulked up. They believe in his bat. He's hit in every level of the minor leagues. Like, I don't love it. I still want to go out and get a bat. I think that's a lot to rely on. You're counting on Dominguez. You're counting on Rice. You're counting on Volpe. Like, that's, you know, guys who haven't performed and are young. And I know Volpe's in his third year and a lot of pressure on him. But that's a lot to be relying on when you're trying to be the best team in the American League. So I still want to go out and get a bat. There's JD Martinez out there. It's just money. And if it doesn't work, you throw him away. Like, that's how it works. And the owner has to be willing to do that. But we're going to wait to see what Giancarlo thinks. And I don't know if it's like personal. Like, is this injury bad enough to retire? I mean, that's what you start to think. You start to think he's debating whether to have season-ending surgery. He's debating whether or not he can play baseball anymore. Like, it's crazy to think that. Because I don't know if he was playing tennis in between the World Series last year or lifting weights or whatever. But he was dealing with this last year and played better than everybody in baseball this side of Freddie Freeman in the World Series. He was better than Juan Soto in the postseason. He was the best player on the Yankees. He was the best player in every series he played except for the World Series and Freddie Freeman. Like, how could he do that and 6 months later be at the point where we don't know when the hell he's going to play? What did he do in those 3 months? But it's a major problem for the New York Yankees, and they're dealing with another injury, which, by the way, like, this spring training has been awful. The only thing that you care about with spring training is to get guys healthy and think about what's gone on already. The Yankees DH in the middle of the lineup, which is their biggest question mark, I don't even know if he's going to play ever again. I don't even think that's crazy to say. I don't know if he's ever going to play again. It's a bit hyperbole, but who knows? The Yankees just lost Scott Efros, who has been coming back from back surgery and Tommy John surgery, who's a good reliever they traded for back in 2022, and that's the last time we saw him. He throws one pitch and pulls a hamstring. We'll see how severe that is. You had Wells not starting, hasn't played games yet. Judge hasn't played games yet. And then you turn to the Mets, two-fifths or two-sixths of their six-man rotation, Manaea and Frankie Montas have gone down. Madrigal, who is maybe on target to be their 25th or 26th man on the roster, he's gone down. Like, it's just every day. Another guy goes down. This spring training sucks. And the game yesterday wasn't even televised for the New York Yankees. I couldn't even see that. What the hell? Between both teams, someone should televise every single game. But thankfully, the Mets were televised, and the story coming out of that is Brett Baty. Brett Baty, who I now believe is 6-for-8 in his first three spring training games, hit a home run yesterday and golfed one out. And right now, to me, when you've listened to the manager talk in that last roster spot, doesn't have to be someone who plays shortstop. right? He's already said that they don't feel they need a backup shortstop on the team. They just need an emergency shortstop. And if Lindor, God forbid, needs a week or needs 2 weeks to go on the IL or whatever the case may be, they can, you know, get through a game and then call up Acuna or whoever else they're going to call up to be a shortstop. So they don't need to be able to play shortstop. Beatty clearly was making strides even greater than Vientos last year defensively. I'm sure he's capable of playing second. Obviously, he's capable of playing third. And, you know, this is a guy who we talked about Ben Rice raking in the minors. This guy hits, and he's got a beautiful left-handed swing. And I don't want to get too excited about it because he's had good springs before and then failed when the lights were brightest and the season started. But to me, this is the guy with the highest upside. This is the guy who can absolutely hit. This is the guy who I think right now is the favorite to be on the Mets roster, and rightfully so. And I think, you know, right now you're looking at this team and the pitching is the major question mark, and they don't seem too excited to do anything to really impact that pitching. They believe internally they're okay. They believe in Paul Blackburn. They believe in Griffin Canning. You know, the first month of the season, we don't even know how long Manaea is going to be out. The first month of the season, there's a lot of days off. You're not going to need more than five pitchers for about a month. They're willing to wait. They're willing to see. They believe in their bullpen. They believe in their lineup. But if you're not going to have a rotation that you can feel confident in, and I'm sorry, I don't want to be Debbie Downer. I know Met fans think I'm trolling them. Like, this is me wanting the Mets to be successful. And the rotation scares me and limits how successful they can be in my mind. So if you're going to go into the season with a question mark at the rotation, and I don't know how you can't call a pitcher, your ace right now is Kodai Senga, who hasn't pitched in a year. Your second pitcher is Peterson, who has had his moments with the Mets, and certainly the last season, the last 3 months of the year, he was as good as he's ever been. Your third starter is Clay Holmes, a reliever, who you're transitioning into a starter. Your fourth starter is Paul Blackburn, who pitched fairly well for you, wasn't much of a pitcher with Oakland, but pitched fairly well for you last year before getting injured. And then your fifth starter is Griffin Canning, who might very well have been the worst pitcher in Major League Baseball who pitched every fifth day. Right? That's not all that exciting to start the year for a team that has World Series aspirations. So if you're going to go in with a question mark there, to me, I better be buttoned up everywhere else. And for me, Brett Beatty is someone who can give you options and is a legitimate threat off the bench. And if he can figure out how to play second base and he's hitting and McNeil is not, now you've got a legitimate threat in the back end of that lineup. Another lefty bat, another power bat. I mean, think about it. If he comes to fruition and brings a little bit of power, think of how much power this Met lineup has. You know you're going to get 25 to 30, maybe more than that from Lindor. You know you're going to get 30 to 35, maybe more than that from Soto, right? You're going to get 30 home runs from Vientos. You're going to get 40 home runs from Alonso. If Beatty can give you 25 to 30 home runs, like, you're talking about a really powerful lineup. Not only just, you know, a bunch of really good hitters, power, home runs. Like, that's the kind of lineup that scares you. That's the kind of lineup, like, we had a caller yesterday trying to compare the Yankee lineup. If Beatty is what he can be, even without that, I mean, it's still not worth mentioning how much better it is than the Yankee lineup. But, I mean, if you can, you could do that. Plus, we saw Siri hit a home run in the game yesterday, and we've seen him have some pop in his bat over the last couple of years between Tampa Bay and Houston. Nimmo is very touch and go, but he's kind of, what did Nimmo have last year? Didn't Nimmo hit a career high in home runs last year? He's a little up and down still for me, Nimmo, but I mean, he's got some pop from the left side too. You're talking about, you could see the Mets lead the National League in home runs next year. 23 home runs from Nimmo. No, the year before he hit 24 and 23. Most RBIs though, 90. And all the other numbers actually went down. His batting average went down. His OPS went down. His on-base percentage went down. His slugging percentage went down. OPS plus went down. RBIs went up. But that is a potent, powerful lineup from the New York Mets. So the question really is, can you trust Beatty? I watch him. I think he's got a beautiful swing. We know he can hit. He's without question a quadruple A player, right? He's one of those guys we know. If you send him down to AAA, you're going to get every time you get a AAA roundup or whatever they call it, and they let you know what's going on in AAA, you're going to see another home run from Beatty. Beatty's going to be hitting 325. Beatty's going to be leading the league in this. Like, he is without question a good enough bat to be he has mastered every level of the minor leagues. And right now, to me, without Madrigal, without bringing in Candelita, without wanting or needing Acuña to be a backup shortstop on this roster and someone who you'd rather get at bats every day as opposed to being on the bench, and especially if you're not even considering giving Lindor days off on a somewhat regular basis. I know he could play second base, obviously, for Jeff McNeil if he struggles, but if that happens, you can always make that decision. Like, I think Beatty's the guy to make this last roster spot. I think he's had the edge the whole time. And right now, it's only been a couple days in spring. We got to see more of it. But he started the season on fire. The manager's talking about how he's getting his pitch and not missing it. I mean, this is the guy that really could make an impact with the New York Mets.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
There was also two other guys at Yankee game yesterday, and I just saw the first highlight of it as the game was not televised, which I don't understand. The home team should televise all their games. I don't understand it. And we'll see about this. Apparently now ESPN and Major League Baseball might reestablish and try and reconnect and find a way to come up with a broadcasting deal, obviously for less money. ESPN doesn't want to do it for the $500 million because I just don't know where else MLB is going to turn to for all these games. And it's been a longstanding partnership. So we'll see if that happens. But I don't know. I still need all these games televised. But anyway, so I just saw it. The other two home runs that were hit by the New York Yankees are two guys who could possibly be in the mix for the DH spot as well as Ben Rice. One you love to see. The other one nobody wants to see. But Dom Smith did hit a home run. And what scares me about Dom Smith is just his veteran nature and the Yankees' belief in veterans and rather do that than the youth. Rather trust Dom Smith, who's been, you know, up in the major leagues, who actually in 2020 had a great year with the Mets. Was he a top five MVP finisher that year? I think he was, right?
I don't know about that, but he was like close to the league lead in extra base hits. I remember that.
Really? I thought he had like an unbelievable year that year. Dom Smith had a great 2020. He's been around a little bit, was with the Red Sox last year. 2020, just out of curiosity. Finished 13th in MVP voting. In the 60 games, Dom Smith had 10 home runs, 42 RBIs, hit .316 with a .993 OPS.
And so with the 21 doubles, one triple, he had 32 extra base hits in 50 games.
Yeah.
The doubles are one off his career high, and that was a short. He only played 50 games.
Yeah. Last year he had 24. He had 22 doubles.
And his OPS was almost 1,000, 993.
Yeah,
he had
that's
one
crazy.
Other season when he got hurt in 2019 in the 800s, and nothing over 7.
Nothing over 7.
After that.
Before or after. Yeah, he's had two seasons over 7, but 2020 a 993 and finished 13th in the MVP voting. Yeah, I mean, listen, if Dom Smith's going to give me 993, I'll be happy to have him as the DH. I wouldn't expect it. But the other name is Everson Pereira, who has been a prospect for the New York Yankees a couple years. He came up a couple years ago. They believe in his bat. He had Tommy John surgery last year. He's coming off that. This is where the Yankees are going to go. Unfortunately, the more and more I'm just convinced they're not going to add that bat that they need. I really, I don't think they're going to do it. I really wish Hal would reconsider. I don't understand it. I don't understand both these teams. Like, I don't get it. It's just money. Go sign Quintana. You know, even if you don't pitch him, like, it's not like, here's what I don't get. Like, even if it doesn't, even if you end up not needing him, so what? It's just money, and it's a one-year deal. I did see a clip where he was doing another event, Steve Cohen, speaking as the leader of a hedge fund and not the leader of the Mets, and is down on the economy and doesn't love the tariff idea and doesn't think Doge is good for the economy and whatever else, so he's down on 2025. Maybe that's it. But I'm sorry. I'm not calling him cheap by any means. And I know we call Hal Steinbrenner cheap for not spending the money. I'm not calling this owner cheap. I'd be crazy to call him cheap. But if you have a glaring hole, and they do, and Quintana's sitting there, how much money is Quintana going to get? Like, how much money is he going to get? Sign him for a one-year deal. He'll gladly come back. What's the worst that could happen? You don't need him? This owner has done dumber things for $20 million than try and bolster a rotation. Like, that's the issue I have with it. Everyone's like, well, you don't know how long it's going to be. You know, I trust David Stearns, and I trust this owner. What, you think you know better than them? Okay. Well, no, I'm giving my opinion. Do you think I know better than Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner? I don't think I do necessarily, but we can give our opinions, and you sure do, that he's a cheap bastard. It's just money. You're already over the last luxury tax. All the penalties that come with it are there. The international signing money, the draft picks, all of it. It's all there still. You're going to have that one way no matter what. This is just money. And yes, it'll be double. So if you sign him for $8 million, you're signing him for $16 million. I get it. It's just money. And you're not sure how long Manaea is going to be out. You don't know. It might be he might start throwing in 7 days. He might start throwing in 14 days. He might start throwing in 21 days. He might start throwing in a month. You have no idea. And if you wait that long, then you're not going to have time to get Quintana up and ready to go. And just sign him. Even if you don't need him. Like, even if you're throwing away, it's just money. And I understand that you got some pitchers. You don't want to have to send them down. You send McGill down. Keep Quintana in the bullpen as your long man until you need him. Or, you know, use him until you need him and then put him in the bullpen as your long man. Or figure it out. Or worst comes to worst, release him. And it costs you $10 million to secure your rotation. Is that a waste of money? Is there such a thing? Because It's not harming him from doing anything else. Again, I'm not trying to say the sky is falling because Manaea is hurt. I get it. It might be a month. It might be 2 months. I'm just saying, why not? Who knows? You're probably going to have another injury. And as much as you're raving about your depth, it's Paul Blackburn and Griffin Canning. It's not like... And the same thing with the Yankees. The idea they don't go get a bat is ridiculous. And I'm hoping this leads to... I was watching SNY today, and they were talking about Nolan Arenado. There's no reason why Nolan Arenado shouldn't be the third baseman on this team. Eat the money. You need another bat. But that, you know, when Ben Rice is hitting 112-mile-an-hour, you know, line drives, and Pereira and Dom Smith are hitting home runs, they don't feel they need to. Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris. How you doing? Yeah, I agree with you. It makes all the sense in the world. But I guess Stearns and Cashman, they have faith in their in-house options, you know, and they figure it's still early. But just a little side note, since it is a five-hour show, like the majority of things, you know, everybody was talking about the Yankees not playing New York after losses yesterday with Sinatra. Well, yesterday, interestingly enough, was the 30th anniversary of Sinatra's last performance live. February 25th, 1995.
Oh, is that a fact?
Yeah, and a little... Did you know that... I know you're a huge Beatles guy. When the Beatles started Apple Records, do you know that the first song that was ever cataloged A1 by Apple Records was a Sinatra record?
No. What's
that he wrote? he wrote a song because Ringo Starr's wife, Maureen, was a huge fan. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a song that they only made two copies of called Maureen is the Champ, as a parody of Ladies of Tramp.
Okay.
And they pressed two copies of it. So historically, A1, first song ever cataloged by Apple Records, is Sinatra.
Interesting. I had no idea about that.
I thought you'd get a kick out of that. You're a big Beatle guy.
Yeah, I've never heard that before. I'm not even aware of the song, let alone it being the first Apple song.
They made two copies of it. It's like you can find it on YouTube. It's really funny. Apparently, like Maureen, you know, I guess Ringo Starr's wife was named Maureen.
Yes.
She was like a big fan of his. It's kind of hokey, but if you ever get a chance, you can watch it. It's funny. And Sinatra has a good had a friendship with George Harrison, and he said that Something was the best love song written in the last 80 years. Loved singing Something.
That I was aware of. I knew Frank Sinatra's affinity for the song Something.
Yeah, and as far as Dom Smith, it's funny talking about Dom Smith. I remember when a big debate at Met Camp was who's going to be the first baseman of the future, Dom Smith or Alonzo.
Oh, yeah, remember that?
100%. And I got to admit, there were times when I said, you know, Alonzo was that
well, Smith was
guy.
Smith was better defensively, so it became like a little bit of a conversation. I mean, and he was coming off a 993 OPS in 2020, so... And then it went, you know, then the decision became very easy. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Let's get to Seth in Rockaway. What's up, Seth?
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. I just got two quick questions for you. I want to hear your opinion about
them. Sure.
Number one, Devin Williams, their number one closer, rated number one closer. So the Yankees had a little bit of a closing problem last year. I know your opinion is that it's not on Clay Holmes, it's on the defense.
A little bit. I mean, listen, it's not never on Clay Holmes. I would put it this way. I think Clay Holmes blew as many games as most closers do, maybe slightly more. But I think the reason the number got so crazy is his defense let him down a lot. And part of it is the Yankees shifting. Part of it is... Because if you look, they don't play to the ground ball. Especially, like, he's throwing sinkers away to lefties, and they're still pulling that same shift. Like, you want to see how many lefties got base hits hitting ground balls the other way? Like, it just, a lot of it made no sense to me. But I'm not saying he was great. I'm saying he wasn't as bad as, like, historically bad blown saves. I still will stand by that.
Right. So, okay, so my question is like this. So if the Yankees' win total goes down due to their lack of bat, how many games do you see that a closer like Devin Williams could save a slight lead that would add to the Yankees' win total? And the second question is, looking back, and I know we didn't know Giancarlo would be injured, but would you think it was worth it to spend money on a Max Fried instead of a average bet like Nolan Arenado?
Oh, yeah. No, Max Fried's. I'd rather have Max Fried than Nolan Arenado. You're talking about one of the ace pitchers in the game. And it wouldn't cost nearly as much as Max Fried costs. Now, if you wanted to tell me, you know, would I rather have paid for Max Fried or, I don't know, you know, signed a better, like a top-of-the-league bat instead? That's a different conversation, but not an average bat. I think Max Fried's going to be huge for the Yankees. I think, you know, the rotation right now is what they're going to be winning by. So, I mean, yeah, I agree offense over the course of the year is more important, but... No, I wouldn't trade signing Max Fried for an average hitter. You'd have to tell me, you know, like if they were able to trade for Justin Tucker and give him an extension, like would I rather that than Max Fried or what'd I say? Justin Tucker again. Justin Tucker, Kyle Tucker.
You don't want him.
No, I don't want him anymore. Nope. I don't want. Yeah, I know exactly. He probably will be released and available somewhat soon.
I think that's the least of his problems.
Yeah,
yes.
I think that is the least of his problems. What's with this masseuse stuff? What are the odds two guys have like the exact same issue in the NFL?
I don't know. I'm unaware of what the issue is.
What do you mean you're unaware of what the issue is? You know damn well what the issue is.
No. I'm saying I don't have this personal problem,
well, of course,
so I don't get why it's an issue for them. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't think Justin Tucker would be a guy that you would want to go after. No,
I feel
like you'd leave that alone.
No, I would leave that alone.
Especially if you're the Browns. I feel like you should definitely steer clear.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
He probably can't even, like opera sing anymore. That part of his life is over too. I don't think, you know, you think the Philharmonic is going to pick him up now? Forget that.
Oh, I thought you were trying to make a joke there.
No, he's actually like an opera singer.
I thought you were going somewhere else with it.
No, I'm saying that even that, like, it's not even like, oh, I'll retire from the spotlight, but I'll go sing in, I'll go sing Figaro. Like, I don't think it's going to happen for him.
Well, depending on what the allegations are and what comes out of it, you never know. He might be singing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. I suppose that's true. I don't even want to dance around what you're insinuating because I think I get it, but I don't want to elaborate because it's, not a topic for radio. But yeah. Kyle Tucker, and what did I say yesterday? Chase Blackburn instead of Paul Blackburn with the Mets. That happens. Chase Blackburn won a Super Bowl with the Giants. Love Chase.
Big pick in that Super Bowl.
Big pick in that Super Bowl. Off the couch. All right.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The March to Spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.